As we gather here this evening in this place, we want to talk about something that is imperative for all Christians, and that is growing a Christian character. Character, by definition, is one of the attributes or features that make up or distinguish an individual. Our president, Abraham Lincoln, is credited with saying about character something that might help us better understand why it is that we need good, strong Christian character. He said, "Our character is much more than just our reputation, what we try to display for others to see. It is who we are even when no one is watching." You know, it's important to have character in life, but it's of utmost importance to have Christian character. We're going to look at this, and hopefully by the time we finish this evening, we'll understand what Christian character is. But it's also important to understand that when one becomes a Christian, it is imperative to build Christian character. It doesn't come as part of the package automatically. I know that those of us who have had children know that our children didn't come with instructions. I've often heard parents comment and say, "I wish my kids came with instructions. They'd be easier to raise, or the decisions would be easier to make." Well, now, understand, we do have instructions relative to becoming a Christian and growing as a Christian, but Christian character is not something that automatically is applied. It's not something that is given to us of God. It's something that we have to develop. It's something we have to grow, something we have to work on. Our individual character does not come preloaded. We have to build it. We have to develop it over a period of time. And a lot of times, the situations in which we live, the circumstances surrounding our lives, is that which builds our character. And it's not the things that we have gone through. I've had people say, "Well, if you had gone through what I have gone through, if you have endured what I have endured," it's not what we go through, it's not what we endure that builds up and establishes our character. It's how we deal with what we go through. It's how we deal with that which we have endured. Our text this evening is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Know that the gospel was being revealed through the pen of these apostles and others who were chosen by the Holy Spirit to give us this word. But Peter writes here in this general epistle, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Those to whom he wrote are Christians, but he's telling them to continue to grow in grace, to continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we look at that passage, we must fully understand that when a person becomes a child of God, they know about Jesus Christ. They know that Jesus Christ came and died upon Calvary's cross. They know that Jesus Christ is the one and only source for the promise of eternal life, having shed his blood on Calvary's cross and provided that for mankind. Why then do we need to continue to grow in grace? Why then do we need to continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You notice he was writing this. He was writing it to Christians who were soon likely to see great persecution. The Spirit has Peter exhort his readers to grow because they're going to need it. There's going to come a tough time. There's going to come time when they need knowledge, when they need to be ones who will show character. Peter also knew that he himself would also die for his preaching of the gospel. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, he indicates this, and he had no way of knowing this other than the Spirit telling him. We might very well look out into our future and say, "You know, one day I'm going to die." Well, we know this. The Bible said, "Is it appointed that a man wants to die, and then after this the judgment?" But do we know when it is? Notice what the Spirit had Peter write there in 2 Peter chapter 1. "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." What did Jesus show us when he was here? Not that he was going, just that he was going to die. He told his apostles or his disciples that he was going to die. He told others that he was going to die. He told the king, or told Pilate, to this end was I born. But he said there in John chapter 13 and verse 16, words that Peter heard, that Peter knew, and that he also understood. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Peter knew that he was not greater than Christ. Christ came and lived his life in the flesh, and he died. Jesus also said, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. We know that Peter was not greater than Christ. Christ died, so must Peter. Jesus Christ knew when he came that he was not greater than God who sent him. In fact, it tells us that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But Jesus also talked about the kind of death that he would die. In John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, we find the words of Jesus. Then we find the explanation of the words of Jesus, or an explanation showing us of what he's speaking. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Imagine, if you will, being a person, being approached by someone, and they say, you know, there was a time when you were young, you went about whether you would. There's going to become a time when you're old and people are going to take you into a situation in which you do not want to be in. They're going to take you and carry you to your death. Follow me. And you say, sure, I'm up for that. No, that takes character. In his death and the events leading up to his death, Christ showed true character. You know, Jesus Christ came to earth knowing full well that he was going to be put on Calvary's cross. Jesus Christ came to earth knowing full well the treatment that he would receive of those with whom he would come in contact. And he showed his true character. It was the same character that he showed in life. And that which is also to be developed by his followers, regardless of the outcome here on earth. When Jesus Christ knew that those in Jerusalem were set about to kill him, he went ahead to Jerusalem anyway. He knew that he was come to fulfill his Father's will. And he knew that he would suffer persecutions. He knew that he would be shamefully treated. He knew that he would be hanged upon Calvary's cross as a sacrifice for all of humanity. And yet, he came, and he endured these things. You know, we hear about persecution in other places, but we need to ask ourselves, what will we do when it comes to where we live? And you think, oh no, that's not going to happen. It could very well happen, and it could very well happen in this lifetime, in our lifetime, while some of us are alive. What will we do? How will we react? How will we respond? How will we stand? There are those who make the statement that regardless of what happens, I will stand with you. We've seen it. We've seen it in the Bible. The question is not how will we stand, but will we be able to stand in the face of persecution? We might think, yes, we will. We might conjure up in our minds all sorts of scenarios and how we will stand. I will stand bold regardless of what happens. Will we? We will not know until that moment comes. Peter thought he would always stand, did he not? Though I die, I will not betray thee. Did he ever stumble? Oh, he stumbled and he fell hard. And you know that he was aware of the fact, because when the Lord turned and looked at him, he went out and wept bitterly. What was being done here? Peter was building a character. He was enduring some things, and some of those things he brought upon himself, and he was building a character. Indeed, when persecution does arrive, we will be able to stand if we have strong Christian character. But Christian character will not ever be built upon anything other than the Word of God. If we have Christian character based upon the Word of God, we will stand. So then the question must be, how do we build a Christian character? First, let it be understood that solid Christian character begins with faith. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We've often heard in prayers about those who gather. While we gather here with these of like precious faith, you ever wonder where it comes from? It's not a phrase that some man thought up and put in a prayer and other people heard it and said, you know, that sounds like a neat phrase. I'm going to use that. We find it here in 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith is precious. It's important. And our faith is not founded on cunningly devised fables, stories, or anything of that nature. We find that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. As he's writing to those brethren, he's reminding them of the fact that our faith is not based upon these things. Notice what he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter and those that were gathered together with Jesus, that spent time with him, were eyewitnesses of the elevated nature of this one who walked the face of the earth, but is God in the flesh. They saw it. They were aware of it. They experienced Jesus. And yes, they should have had faith. You know, Thomas was one who said, "Though I see the hand, or the nail prints in his hands, or thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And Jesus pointed out, "Blessed is he, having not seen, believe." It was maybe easy for Peter and those that were with him, those disciples, those apostles. They saw Jesus. They witnessed the majesty of Jesus. Maybe you think, well, it was easier for them. But it should be just as easy for us to have faith. We must realize that without faith, nothing else that we really do matters. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16 points this out for us. And it's pointed out in such a way that it is impossible to misunderstand it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must have faith. And those who have faith will believe. If they don't believe, they won't have faith. Now let's go to Romans chapter 9, verses 31 and 32. And we're going to find out that there are those with whom God dealt that did not attain to the law under which they lived. The Apostle Paul is writing, the Spirit giving him direction. He wrote to him, or to them, and said, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore?" Then he gives the answer, "Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. They went about thinking that if I do this procedure, or if I do this particular set of items, then I'm following the law." I hope Christians don't fall into that today, thinking that I'm building a Christian character by attending when the doors are open, or every once in a while when the doors are open. gathering together, mumbling out a few words when the song leader is leading the song, maybe every once in a while looking up a scripture, partaking of the Lord's Supper, and look at me, I'm building a Christian character. If we don't have faith, none of that matters. These people, they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the books of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And as it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's talking about faith. Another passage that deals with faith, and people have a hard time understanding it relative to what is being said here. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. We need to understand that all of this is given to us so that we might understand not only that we must have faith, but we understand how faith works. This particular passage is speaking about baptism. It says, buried with him in baptism. And we need to understand that when one is baptized, they undergo a burial. There's a death. You die to sin. You're buried with Christ, risen to walk in newness of life. It says here, wherein also you're risen with him, listen, through the faith of the operation of God. And I want you to think. I want you to really think. What did you feel, physically feel, when you were baptized? And I'm not making light of baptism, but I'll tell you what you felt. More than likely, you felt cold and wet. You cannot feel the operation of God. You know it has happened because you come by faith. You have repented. You confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you are baptized and the sin is cut away from the heart. And genuine faith always comes from an honest heart hearing the Word of God. And those that have true faith will obey that Word which is sent from God. There have been those who have said, you know, I've heard the Word. And yes, I believe it. But I can't bring myself to... And wherever it is, they stop in their obedience. That's where it is. Why? Well, they don't really have faith. Do they really believe it? Remember, we're working on the growing of a Christian character. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7 through 8, and several other passages in the 11th chapter of Hebrews we'll look at. And notice that all of these things that are said about these people and all of these things that they did by faith. We need to understand this. First, it talks about Noah. And we know what happened to Noah. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of things of God, of things not seen, moved with fear. There's one of the key phrases there. By faith, he moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Why? Because he believed that God would do what he said he would do. What did God say? Well, the wickedness of the earth is so much that I'm going to destroy it. But you and your wife and your sons and their wives, all other humans will be destroyed. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And if we continue on, we see that looking down through history, we see in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. You know, there's an expression that people use. They say, seeing is believing. What did Abraham see? What did Noah see? You stop and think about it and look at those two particular things. Noah had not even seen rain. Because up to that point, it hadn't even rained. Abraham saw nothing either, except the same thing that Noah saw, and was that God said. That's all they needed to know. God said, and then they moved. They did. They obeyed. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was one delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God had come to Abram And he told Abram that his wife would have a child, and she was well past the age of bearing children. Even of Abraham, if I remember correctly, it says, as though as one dead. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, we again see something about faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, when you read that, you might would think, well, the people believed that God was going to make the walls of Jericho fall down. But read on. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. They were told specifically and exactly how to do it. To march around the walls. To do so for 7 days. And on that last day, when that great shout was made, the walls fell down. These people believed God. They had faith. They understood. Where does all that faith come from? Because they'd seen miracles? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 points this out, and it does so very clearly. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who was it that spoke to Abraham? Who was it that spoke to Noah? Who was it that promised Sarah that she would have a child? Who was it that told the men to go out and to encompass Jericho those 7 days? But we need to understand also, as we build a Christian character, if we want to be fruitful, faith alone is not sufficient. You have to do more than just believe. We need to be fruitful if we wish to please God. In John chapter 15 and verse 2, we see what Jesus said relative to that branch which would bear not fruit. He said, "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit." Again, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 19, we see this same thing. And it tells us the end of that branch that will not bear fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth or bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It's worthless. But what is that fruit? Well, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 tell us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Those things that we will work on as we grow a Christian character. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it goes on to say, against such there is no law. God wants us to grow a Christian character. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to have faith. So then, how is it that having faith leads to being fruitful? Well, we go back to 2 Peter. We do so by going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. This is a passage that if you're not familiar with, you will recognize it when it's begun to be read. But I'm going to stop occasionally within this verse and discuss some things. But there in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, it says, "And besides this, giving all diligence." Understand that it's not just something that we allow to happen. Giving all diligence. When we are diligent, we're working at it. We're striving for it. We're reaching for it. What are we to do with diligence? We're to add to our faith virtue. We're to add to virtue knowledge. We're to add to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Understand, these are building blocks. And these building blocks are those which we use to grow a Christian character. It says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You don't want to be unfruitful. If you're unfruitful, you'll be hewn down and cast into the fire. Then verse 9 tells us, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." It's kind of like people that think, you know, well, I'm not real bad. Well, I'm not real good either, but I'm on the line, so I'm okay. What kind of character is that? Remember what Abraham Lincoln said? It's who we are even when no one is watching. And know this, God is always watching. So what are we to do? Well, according to verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. He wants us to build that Christian character. He wants us to be strong, and He wants us to build it upon the faith that we have from His Word. But know that it takes a great deal of diligence, a tremendous amount of diligence on our part. Again, we go back to verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence. Have you ever wanted something really, really bad, and you were told that you were going to have to work really, really hard for it? If you wanted it badly enough, what did you do? You worked. You strove for it. You did not let anything get in the way of that. Now let me ask you a question. Do you want to go to heaven? Are you willing to work for it? Are you willing to strive for it? Are you willing to be diligent? Are you being willing to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge? Again, to verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. How do we do this? The first passage that jumps to my mind is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, and it's interesting that the Apostle Paul had laid hands on Timothy and was imparted to him a spiritual gift, but the Spirit still had Paul to tell him what to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, you're not going to grow a Christian character if you don't know what the Word says. How are you going to have faith if you don't know what the Word says? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And listen, the more you study, the more you grow. And the more you grow, the more you love. And the more you love, the more you desire and are willing to work to make your calling and election sure. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, the result will be well worth the sacrifice. You ever wanted something real bad and you were willing to work for it and you strove for it and you received it? The satisfaction that was there. Look what I worked for. Look what I've gained. Listen, we're working for something far greater than anything the world can offer. And we need to grow a Christian character. I'm going to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, going through verse 11. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, what things? The things that he was talking about earlier. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you add to your faith virtue and on down the line all the way to charity, you are going to be growing a Christian character. Verse 11 of that particular passage tells us what the reward is. For so an entrance shall be ministered into you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to close with a question this evening before we extend the invitation. Since becoming a Christian, have these things become more abundant in your life? Remember, there is no situation in which we can remain static. There's no situation in which we can maintain the status quo. We've got to continue to grow. We've got to continue to be stronger. We need to be making every effort to add these things to ourselves to build our character as we seek to make our calling and election sure. And understand that before we can make our calling and election sure, we have to respond to the gospel. You can't grow a Christian character if you're not a Christian. So then how do you become a Christian? The Bible is very clear on this. It tells us that one must hear the word of God. We've already alluded to it. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It teaches also that we are to believe. Jesus in John 8:24 said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And God will not allow us to come to him without repenting, turning away from that sin, turning away from the world, turning toward God. In Luke 13:3-5, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He also told us in Matthew 10:32, that confession is absolutely necessary. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And then we're to be baptized. Again, we go to the words of Jesus, Mark 16:16, where he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Once we have heard, believed, repented, confessed, and have been baptized, we are now in Christ, and we are Christians, and then we can build Christian character. But if we are Christians and we've not been building that Christian character, we're not living faithfully from the time that we became a child of God, and we're not doing as the Lord would have those do. In Revelation 2:10, he said, be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life. To those who are not children of God, you can become one this evening, having heard the truth, being willing to obey it. Those who are children of God know and understand, if you're not building your Christian character, you're not laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. God has provided for those who have not done so, those who are his children. They are to return to him in repentance and prayer, as we see in Acts 8:32. Tonight, as we open our song books and as we sing the invitation song, I ask you, what shape is your character in? Are you building a Christian character? Or do you need to become a Christian? If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing?